Wombats.
What comes to mind when you think of wombats? I'm totally kidding. I have no idea. I told them, they said, did you have a title for your sermon? I said, no. They said, do you want me to make one up? I said, sure. That's good. Hey, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's good to be here. You may be looking at me and going, I thought this was PJ Sunday. Well, let me just say something. These pants are the most comfortable pants I have ever experienced in my life. And this shirt I received from Stephanie. This is what it looks like to preach in PJs. I just want you to know. All right. Anyway, so there we go. PJ Sunday. This is the most relaxed Sunday morning I have ever experienced, so welcome. This is something new. So it's the new year, right? First day. And when it's the new year, what do you think about? And I'm not, this, what do you think about? Resolutions, football. What else do we think? Rose parade. What? No sleep. That's true. It's early. That's why we said come in PJs. Yeah, resolutions, football. We think about different things come to mind. I know the New Year's kind of a contrived idea, isn't it? I mean, today is not really different than yesterday that much, right? Except we write a 3 at the end of the date. Right? It's not that different. But, you know, to pause and to consider how my life might be different. To pause and consider what are the possibilities for the coming time is actually a good discipline for a follower of Christ, is it not? You know, there's one, I like this rhythm of our country. I like that November we pause and we thank the Lord for all he's given us. And then I love that December, we celebrate our deliverance from sin and darkness. And then on New Year's, we pause to look at what are the possibilities that God might have for us this coming year. I really like this. What thoughts are flowing in your mind today as it's the new year? I have a couple of verses for you this morning. In Philippians chapter 1. And there's no slides today. So if you want to pull out your device or your Bible and just open to Philippians 1, we're going to just be in the first couple of verses there. So while you're doing that, let's pray. Father in heaven, man, it's just good to worship you. Just thank you that we can rise on the first day of the year and proclaim that you are good, that you are the source of life, that you have saved us. We thank you for that privilege to worship here this morning. Lord, will you change us through our worship? More like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 1. Now, Paul is writing from prison. He is in chains. He's in Rome, more than likely. And he has been locked up because he was preaching the truth of the gospel. And he has made his way to Rome, and he's in chains. And he's writing back to the church in Philippi, which began by that preaching of the gospel and then began a church there. So he's writing back to this church that God started through his preaching. And in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul sits in jail. He sits in jail, but he has joy. And he sits in jail with joy, even though he might be separated from his brothers and sisters in Christ, but he is not alone. Because he knows that there are others who love Jesus and want him to be known. And there are people who are joined with him. So he has joy even though he's locked up. I hope you experience, not the jail, but I hope you experience that level of joy. I experience that. I think about this church when I'm somewhere else. And I think about there are people in Ann Arbor, who I love and who love Jesus. and are partnered with me in the gospel. Does that not bring you joy? That's amazing. It's amazing. But that's not what I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about today is the next part. He says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Paul is confident that God is at work in the believers. God is at work in the believers. God is doing something in their life. God will accomplish his work in them. Think about that for a minute. God's at work in you. God wants to bring about his purposes in you. Now, we do need to participate with him, but the foundation is he's at work. How awesome is that? It's easy to begin a new year by saying, what resolutions can I make that could make my life a little bit better? We begin with our own strength, our own desires, and we think, man, what could I do? Now, let me just say, your strength, your desires, most of them are from the Lord, so that's good. We want to use those things, but I don't think it's best to begin there, to begin with those things. God wants to accomplish something through us. God is at work. We want to begin there. Later in Philippians, it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his, to fulfill his good purpose. It is God who's at work in you to fulfill his good purpose. We begin as believers with the work of God in our life. True change happens through the work of God in us, not our own effort and strength. We use our own effort and strength, but it begins with the work of God in us. Listen, you may be looking back and you're like, yeah, I fall into similar patterns, similar struggles, those type of things. But let me just say, God's at work in you. That doesn't mean you need to fall in the same patterns and the same things. There are possibilities this year because God is at work in you. There are new possibilities. In Lamentations 3, it says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Great. There are new possibilities today, next, this month, and this coming year, because God's compassion is new every day. Your past, your patterns, your struggles do not determine your future. It is God's work in you, your participation in that, that makes possibilities for you. So real change, lasting change, meaningful change does not come by you working harder. It does not come through your work. It comes through your worship. Because his love and his work is the foundation for real change. So it must begin with worship. It must begin with him. There's joy because there's joy of Paul knowing that God's going to accomplish what he desires in his people. Amazing, isn't it? A little bit later in verse 9, he says this. So he has confidence in God's work. So he prays this for the believers. And this is his prayer. And this is my prayer. He even says it. This is my prayer. This is what I've been praying for you. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Church, this is the possibility before you this year. Your life can bring great praise and glory to God. Your life can be filled with true meaning and purpose and results. You may be able, you can know not only what is bad and what is good, but what is best. This is the possibility before you. But this will not happen because you eat better, or you exercise more, or you go to sleep sooner, or rise earlier. Although those things are very good and you need to be a good steward of what God has given you. But that's not what makes these things possible. What happens, what this verse says, what the prayer is, that your love may abound. That your love may abound. What makes these things possible? Your abounding love. That your love may abound, that it may be shared, that it may grow, that it may multiply, that it may expand. Your love, right? And not just our individual love, not just my love growing and expanding and multiplying, but our love for one another and for the world growing, expanding, abounding, and multiplying. That is what would bring glory to God, give us discernment in what is good and right. This is what creates the possibility, our abounding love. I've been married for 28 years to Carol. Yeah, I know. Praise the Lord. Whew, made it. 28 years. What if I got out today? It's a new year. And I said, you know what? I've loved my wife. I loved her. And I am a loving husband. I don't have to do anything else. Check. Done. Moving on to something else. She's laughing. Because we know the implication of that. The implication of that isn't a stagnant relationship. It's a declining relationship. Right? Amen. Did you say amen? Okay. I'm married well. So love is meant to abound and grow. Right? It's the same thing with our love for God. We cannot rely on the past. We cannot rely on our past love, our past faith. But God deserves an abounding love, a growing love. And my simple question for you today is this. The first day of 2023, how might your love abound this year? How might your love expand? How might your love abound this year? How might your love expand? Now listen, I'm not just talking about feelings, right? I'm not just talking about feelings, because he prays that your love may abound more and more in what? Knowledge and depth of insight. So our capacity to love grows as we know God, who he is, and his ways. It's expanded. And our capacity to love grows and is expanded when we obey him and live it out. Depth of insight does not come by knowing, it comes by doing. So I pray your love would abound in knowledge, so growing an understanding of who God is and his ways. But two, depth of insight comes from applying and seeing and failing and then doing it different. So your love may abound more and more. Our capacity to love expands through obeying, through knowing. How might your love abound this year? How might your love expand? Church, this is our opportunity. It is not our burden. This is our opportunity. It is not our burden. For God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion. We circle back. It isn't an effort. It isn't our own ability. Though it will require effort and strength, it begins with God is working things out. We love because he first loves us, right? We love because he loves us. And if we want the capacity to love and abounding love, we have to sit under the glow of his unending grace and his unfailing love regularly. That is worship. That is worship. And when we come together to worship here on Sunday morning, and when we sing to him alone in our quiet times, and when we come and meet together in small groups, we worship him. And our love is it can be expanded. We're changed because he's at work in us. Abounding love does not begin with work. It begins with worship, though it does involve work. But it begins with worship. This is not our burden. This is our opportunity, church, this year. So again, simply, how might your love abound this year? How might your love expand this year? Let's pray. God, I just thank you. You're God of love. You loved us. You loved us first. When we did not deserve it, you came as a baby and then died in our place that we might be delivered. You loved us. You sought us. When we were still sinners, you sought us. And now, Lord, pour out even more of your grace and your love into us that we may glorify you. This church, this body, in this place, this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.